verse here that I want to look at and kind of use that as an introduction to what I want to speak to you about this morning. John chapter 10, verse 10. And the Bible says, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you speak to our hearts today through your word, and just pray that we're so aware of your presence here today. You can take our distractions away. Give us time to concentrate on you, Lord. So we'll put that before you this morning, Lord. I pray every need to be met. Lord, pray for those ones that may be here not saved or not sure about their salvation. Lord, I pray you impress upon their heart as the word goes forth, Lord, their need of calling on you as Savior. We ask you those things for those things, and thank you for them in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible tells us a lot. Of course, so we look at that thief. It says the thief cometh not. That thief there is, I believe, is none other than Satan, the devil himself. And the Bible tells us a lot about what the devil does and what Satan does. And tells us this, that he's a destroyer. He's a deceiver. He's a devourer. The Bible says that the devil's a murderer, that he's a liar and the father of all lies. And the Bible also tells us this, that he's a transformer, that he's able to transform himself into an angel of light. And of course, an angel and light are two positive things we normally associate that with, but that means that he makes himself look good. He can make things appear to look good. But here we see in our text this morning, we see that it says that he's a thief, that he's a thief. And you know, a thief, what a thief does is he wants to steal something. They used to say, you know, that a lock on a door would keep an honest man honest. No, an honest man's always honest. A lock on a door just keeps a lazy thief from breaking in and getting to it. That's about all a lock does for you there. A thief wants to steal. He wants to steal something valuable. Might be money, jewelry, items from your house that cost a lot of money. Might even want to be your family. Kidnappers. Thief might want to come in and steal your family, your children, your grandchildren, your wives, whatever. When a person's home, you know, you think about a thief stealing, breaking in, or robber in that sense. When they break in and steal something, there's something else that's taken besides the item that's taken from you at the time. It's that sense of security. There's a certain amount of peace that's gone. It kind of robs a person of their joy. And you know, when a thief comes, I mean, we do things to prevent that. I mean, we lock the door is a good idea. Sometimes I get up in the morning and realize that we have not locked the door. Or the door the other night, I went to bed, and for some reason I got up and looked, and the front door was still open about 6 inches. Hadn't locked it, although we do have a big dog that will bark at you if you come up there. But, you know, you lock the door, get a gun, maybe get a big dog. That's not a bad idea. Security systems, motion lights, put bars. Some places you live in, you know, all the houses and stores, they got bars on the windows, they got bars on the doors. We do some things to try to prevent, you know, a thief from stealing. And a thief wants to steal something that doesn't belong to him. And we do all that we can to try to stop him from doing that. But when we think about this, what about the devil? What about this thief right here? You know, he's robbing a lot of people blind, and they don't even know it. He's robbing people blind. They don't even know that he's being robbed. Or some folks know, they realize that the devil's robbing them, or maybe could rob them of something valuable, but they don't do anything about it. What does the devil want? Well, number one, he wants your soul. He wants your soul. He wants your blessing, too. I tell you, if he can't get your soul, if you're saved, if you're already saved, I'm telling you, the devil can't get your soul, but he wants your blessing. He wants to get that from you. He wants your family. Yeah, he wants your family. He wants little Charlie May there and all the other kids and grandkids and all your family. He wants that. He wants your joy. He wants your peace. He wants your devotion. Boy, he told old Jesus, remember, he said, you know, if you just bow down and worship me, Bow down, worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Satan's saying the same thing to you. He wants you to be devoted to him more than you are to Christ. And if you're devoted to him at all, I'm telling you, you're not devoted to Christ at all. He gets you health. He'd like to have your health if he can get it. I'll prove it to you here in a minute. And in all these things right there, he's getting it from a lot of people as well. You know, when you look in the Bible, and there's a lot of illustrations in the Bible we can use on that point, but Job is a great illustration. Job is a great illustration of what the devil tries to steal. You know, the Bible says, number one point there, we look about our families. When you think about our families, and I was thinking about one of the reasons I brought little Charlie up here, show her off a little bit and get you to realize some things right there. You know that in the book of Job, it says that Satan came before the Lord, and the Lord asked him, he said, you know, where'd you come from? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, well, I came from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Why do you think that the devil is going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it? He's looking for something to steal. He's looking to see what he can get. Any place that there's a, you know, that unlocked life, that unlocked person that doesn't, it's not watching, doesn't have their armor on, doesn't have their, you know, their sword out, somebody that's not ready, he's looking for them. And he said, you know, and God says, well, you know, have you considered my servant Job here? He said, there's none like him in all the earth. You know, he sheweth evil and, you know, he feareth me and sheweth evil. And Satan says, you know, yeah, but he said, the only reason is because, you know, you blessed him. You blessed him in a certain way and you protected him there. And God says, well, I'll prove you wrong. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, all that he hath is in thine power. Everything he has, it's in your power to do whatever you want to do. He said, only his life, you can't touch it. You can't take his life. Now, most of us here know about the story of Job, and we know what happened, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it in a minute, but we know that he lost his whole family. He lost all his servants. He lost all his livestock in a single day. Lost all his children in a single day, and then later his health. He lost his health too. But I wanted you to see this right here. When God said, listen, Satan, everything that Job has is in thine power. Did Job increase what? Or did Satan increase what Job had? Probably got the words back. Did Satan increase what Job had? It was in his power. It was in his power. You know, he had a power to do it. You think about that. He could do if he can transform himself into an angel of light, he could transform some of your stuff into good things if he wanted to. The problem is he doesn't want to. No, he didn't increase nothing that Job had. He only took away. Did he help Job along the way of life? No. He just made a mess out of his life. He destroyed it. I mean, he took his family. He took the blessings that God had given him, and livestock was money in those days. He took his money. He took his, you know, his all of his children, those blessings, that what had God had blessed him with. He didn't do Job any favors. And he's not going to do you any favors. Amen. Satan's not out here to help you along life's way. All he can really do, I think, mentally, is all he can do or wants to do is destroy, devour, rob, steal anything that he can. It doesn't belong to him. He came to destroy, and that's what he did. He took his family, all in a single day. Now I want you to know something here, folks. Listen, Satan is after your children. Satan is after your children. Yeah. Get them while they're young. That's what we're trying to do. That's what God's trying to do. That's why, listen, I want to ask you this as far as parents. What are you doing to prevent Satan from stealing your children? You know? Man, I'm telling you what. Listen, God made us parents. So many people with kids, well, you know, whatever the children want to do. How come you don't have your children in Sunday school? How come you don't have your children in Wednesday night Bible study? How come you don't have your kids in church like that? Well, you know, it's just whatever the kids want to do. Listen, they're born with a sin nature. Little baby, I brought Charlie up, precious little baby. born with the sin nature. Amen. Automatically do what's wrong. God made us parents to raise our children, not to have a vote and say, listen, what do you want to do? What are you doing to keep your children from being robbed from you by Satan? Listen, look where we're living. The world culture, the world philosophy, television. And listen, there's, you know, I'm not one of them people that say, well, you know, TV, I'm going to go home and put the football game on like I always do. There's things that can be good, but there's things that can be evil. Internet. Man, internet's neato torpedo, man. Me and Paul was sitting there talking about after Stanley said Hank Snow. What did Hank Snow say? I can't think. Paul said, get on there, Google it up. What Hank Snow saying? It can be good if you need to know what Hank Snow saying. But, you know, it can be bad. Listen, there's probably a million times more evil on it than it's good. I mean, I use it. I watch TV, I'm just saying, but the television can be bad. Television, the entertainment industry, the internet, the school system even to a certain degree. Listen, and immorality, man, we got children becoming parents before they're done being children. I mean, what has Satan done there? He has robbed those children of their childhood. Huh? When children are becoming mothers and becoming parents, when they're not being done a child, they have been robbed. You have been robbed of your childhood. And when you're a child, you know, your brain is thinking, oh, man, I just can't wait till I'm 18. I just can't wait till I'm 21. I can't wait to do this. You know, when you get to be our age, I wish all I had to do after supper was hop on my bicycle and ride through the neighborhood. Now I get on my Harley Davidson and ride through the neighborhood. No, but I mean, you remember those days? You remember just kind of carefree? Summer came, school was out. You didn't have to go to work. Man, what'd you do all day? Nothing. What'd you want to do? Nothing. That's what I did. You know, I had one chore all week. I had to get the grass mowed sometime between Monday and Friday. You know, had a quarter acre lot. That was a real big job, wasn't it? You just wish you could go back. But Satan wants us to move ahead, you know, move into adulthood, get away from your childhood. He robbed your childhood from you as a child. He's robbing your childhood. And he wants to steal your children. He wants to get your families. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about that? Man, listen, if he was coming into your house, you'd get your gun out. You'd get the doors locked. You'd call the police. You'd do something to keep the thief from stealing your material thing. What are you doing to keep Satan from stealing your family, your children? Listen, as I said, listen, the children have a sin nature. God didn't put us on here as parents to let our children decide what's best for them. He put us on earth and made us parents so we can decide what's best for our children until they get to the point where they're smart enough to make the right decision about their life as well. And hopefully we've got them grounded in the Word of God. We've got them grounded in the things of God to where they make the decisions for the things of God. And so they can understand that, listen, Satan's out to get you. You younger people, teenagers, Satan's out to get you. He's not going to do a single thing for you. He's going to steal everything he can. He'll take your joy. He'll take your peace. He'll take your security. He'll get your health if he can get it. He'll get your life if he can get it. And ultimately, he'll get your soul if you stand right there and let him get your soul. Another thing we see, even in the illustration of Job, is that Satan's after marriages today. Job's wife had said to Job after everything that happened to him a little later on in the story, she said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die." And Job said this to his wife. He said, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips?" Now we see here in the middle of this story that Job and his wife had a little disagreement. If you call your wife a fool, that usually will result in a little disagreement. Now, he technically didn't call her a fool. He said she was like one of the foolish women, but she probably got uptight about that. But we see they're on different levels spiritually. And they're on a different place as far as, you know, with their relationship with God. But I want you to see this, and it's all because Satan has come on the scene, that Satan is trying to put a rift into marriages today. He's trying to destroy marriage, and it's on a whole lot of fronts. But you know, just with a simple thing as where we're at here, is with a disagreement between Job and his wife. Listen, he's after marriages today, and he's destroying a lot of them. And the divorce rate, they say, among Christians is the same as it is among lost people in the world. And people have bought into, folks, men and women, this applies to both of them. You know, men and women have a problem with the marriage. You know what they do? Instead of going to God's man or going to God's word or going somewhere where they can get good advice, they start listening to their coworkers at work. Well, I wouldn't put up with that. You know what I'd do? This is what I'd do. I'd tell my wife that, and I'd tell my husband, and neither one of them would tell their wife or husband the same thing. They just ain't got the guts to do it, but they want you to go do it. And this is what you ought to do. You need to do this, and you need to do that. And the people start saying, yeah. You know, and they're looking at the culture of society, everything, the single lifestyle, boy, you know, coking and joking, man, partying all over the place, running around here, affairs, this and that and the other thing. Man, what in the world would soap operas do if they didn't have affairs in them? Man, there wouldn't be nothing left, right? They start watching that stuff, and they read them stupid little books, out there, them little paperback books about all that kind of stuff. And that looks so appealing, attractive. Remember, Satan transformed himself into an angel of light, right? And it all looks real good until you done wrecked your whole life. You done wrecked your whole marriage. You got kids scattered all over five continents because you've been married so many times. You got rice marks all over your face from all the weddings you've been in. And you've been out there and because you know, like a dog going through the forest, you know, tree to tree to tree to tree to tree, you know, you've been through it all like that. You've got 15 kids and all of them got different last names. And because you started listening to Satan. He done robbed you of a happy life. A happy married life. Listen, marriage is not a bad thing. This world out here is telling you that. That marriage, God ordained it. God started it. God set it up. Man, you can have... I told Sherry the other day, I said, man, we were riding back from Hetzel's funeral the other day, and man, you start thinking about your life, you know, just clicking along. And I was sitting there, and I asked Sherry, I can't remember my own kids' ages. I said, you know, how old is Kyle? And she told me how old Kyle was because... Years ago, when Sherry and I first were dating and we first got married, and that when bow season came in like it's in now, on Friday nights, when her dad had a cabin in the mountains, and on Friday nights, we would get in the car and we would head to the cabin. It was Friday. We were driving. Actually, her sister called while we were driving, and they were on the way to the same cabin at the time, and we were coming back from the funeral. And I said, you know, I was trying to put things in perspective. I said, man, I was Kyle's age when we probably started doing that. And I said, man, it doesn't seem like that long ago. And I had this thought right here. I said, you know, life is too short to live your life in a turmoil. Amen. You know, and you know, you just don't know, man. I mean, man, you know, things like what happened to Rick's brother, Hetzel, just all of a sudden, somebody's gone. Life's too short. And life is meant to be good, and marriage is meant to be good, and marriage is meant to be enjoyed, to go through life living, you know, having a bad marriage. God don't want you to have a bad marriage. It's Satan. Devil's trying to destroy it. Listen, man, we're going to be gone out of here before you know it. One way or the other. Hey, why don't you enjoy your marriage? Why don't you enjoy your life? You know, Satan's out to get it, And listen, because if he could destroy the family, that will have a direct and adverse effect on the church. And that has to do with our worship. Amen. It has to do with our service to God. And boy, when he gets to family and he gets to church, then look, what else has gone down the drain? Everything in society. Satan is after it, man. Listen, he's after it. He's a thief. What do you think is behind the gay movement? Well, yeah, it's lust. It is. But it's also an attack on the marriage. Amen. It's an attack on the marriage. That's what it's trying to do. Now, if he can't get it taken away, let's distort it. Let's distort it. And get it into some perverse thing that it was never intended to be. It's all part of Satan's big plan. You got to see it. Another thing that Satan wants to steal is he wants to steal our blessing. He took everything that God had blessed Job with, his animals, which, like I said, was really money. He took his family there with him. He ended up taking his hell. Why does Satan want to steal our blessings? Well, in Job's case, you know, he wrongly thought, because, see, Satan's mind is so corrupt and so perverted that he thought that there's no way in the world that a person could love somebody if they weren't getting something in return, you know, like a little tit for tat thing. And he said, the only reason that Job fears you and honors you is because you've blessed him. God said, I'll sell you different. Go ahead and take his blessing. Go ahead and take it and see what happened. And Job said, in all this, it said Job didn't sin and all that. He said, no, listen, we got good from evil. We'll take the bad from evil. He said, though he slay me, you know, yet will I trust in him. I mean, that was his thought. Listen, Satan wants to rob us of our love for Christ. And I'm telling you, through circumstances, a lot of times Satan has. He has got, you know, people's love for the Lord has waned because of trials and circumstances in their life. It has. Satan got that. He wants to rob us of our joy that we have. You know, the joy that we have in the Lord, he wants to take that away, man, and he can do many, many, many things to do that. You know, he gets us focused on the wrong things. He gets us looking at the negative instead of the positive. The glass is half empty instead of being half full. I mean, he can a little rift here, a little comment there. Somebody, you know, you can't even hardly have a church service today where somebody's not riled up at somebody else and got an attitude about somebody else and thinking bad thoughts, and all they can think about during the preaching, the singing, whatever. We get so distracted, Satan has taken our joy. He wants to rob us of our praise. Where we praise God. You know, when you look at, he got it from Job's wife. Huh? He got it from Job's wife. You know, she was fed up. She threw in the towel and she said, listen, why don't you just curse God and die? Everything that's happened to us, why don't we do it? Job's wife had a whole different attitude than Job did. Huh? The truth be known, there's more Christians like Job's wife than there are like Job. There's more Christians like Job's wife that just says, you know, I'm just ready just to quit. I'm ready just to give up, and I'm ready to throw in the towel. You know, when you look around today in Christianity and church today, where's the praise? Oh, you know, where's the joy that we have for God? You know, one man said it like this. We go home and turn on the stupid football game. We holler at referees and football players in the den. We're hollering at a TV set at them people that can't hear us. And then when we get to church and worship a God that can hear us, we sit there like a bump on a log. I said, we sit there like a bump on a log. Huh? Isn't that the truth? I'm as bad as anybody. I can yell at the TV, top of my lungs, and wonder you don't hear me down here sometime. Probably be yelling at it at 4:35 today. we're serving a God that can hear us. Where's all that joy at? What happened to it? Listen, Satan, you got to see Satan in there's circumstances that God sends, God allows. Sometimes he sends them to try to mold us, to conform to his image and all those things right there. But I'm going to tell you what, God's not a destroyer. Everything that God does, every adverse thing that God does has a desire for a positive and lasting result. And everything that Satan does in the way of stealing from us is we're not going to get, he doesn't want to give that back to us in any way. And then here's another thing. Satan wants to rob us of our church. He wants to rob you of your church, which includes, he wants to rob you of your worship. You know, he wants to steal that appetite that you may have for God's word. He wants to steal that. He wants to steal you the appetite you may have just to be around God's people. He wants to take that. And he's always trying to rob us with a relationship with God. He wants us to worship him or think about him or just not to do anything godly. You know, and anything that he doesn't have, he wants us to keep from having it. There's a great illustration in the Bible that goes with that. Solomon, the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man that ever was. And there was a case where there were a couple of harlots. And they both had babies, young little babies, like little Charlie there, all cleaned up and ready to go. Had a couple little babies, and And one of them's child died in the night. And she woke up and she realized her child was dead. And you got to remember, in those days, a child, especially a male child, that was like your retirement plan and insurance policy and everything all roll into one. They were going to take care of you. She woke up. She saw her child was dead. She took her child and she switched it with the other mother that was asleep, put her dead child with her and took the living child and said it was hers. And the next morning, they had a dispute about it. The one mother woke up and they had a big dispute. So they go to Solomon with the problem. And the one says, hey, this is my child. My child was alive when I went to bed and her child died. And she switched them. And the other one said, no, I didn't do it. This is my child. And Solomon, being as wise as he was, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, give me the living child. He said, let's take the living child and we'll cut that child in half. And I'll give one of you half. And I'll give you half. And that old lying, deceiving woman, and where did I say them lies and deceptions come from? They come from Satan. She said, okay, yeah, go ahead and do it. Because see, Satan don't want you to have nothing that he can't have. He wants to get your family. He wants to destroy your family. And she said, yeah, go ahead. But that real mother, she said, no, let her have it. Gives you goosebumps, don't it? Said, let her have it. Let her have the child. And Solomon knew. He said, that real mother, there's no way that real mother would do anything to spare her child's life. Even giving her child up to somebody else to spare his. Solomon knew, said, give her the child. She's the mom. Give her the child. She's the mom. But listen, that's where Satan is trying. He wants to take it from you. He don't care that it's going to die. He don't care what it's about. He wants to destroy your life. And listen, It's no different with your family, your marriage, listen, your church. Listen, I was telling church Wednesday night, you know, people come into churches and, you know, you could tell this at any church. It wouldn't matter. It applies here as well as anywhere else. People come into church, you know, oh man, we just love it here. Y'all must love it here. You're here. Or at least you kind of like it, fond of it. We just love it. But then after, you know, 4, 5, 6, sometimes even longer, 10 years, all of a sudden there's a bunch of problems. We don't like the pastor. We don't like the way he does stuff. We don't like what he says. Y'all supposed to amen, right? we don't like these people in the church. We just don't like what they do. We just don't like what they don't do. All of a sudden there's a bunch of problems. And the church would be pretty much running about the same, right? Where did all that come from? Yeah. And I tell them, you know what they do? They leave their imperfect pastor and their imperfect church, and they go to another imperfect church with another imperfect pastor, and they think that's going to solve all their problems. Huh? And they'll be happy 4, 5, 6 years down the road, and then what happens? Everything. Something's going to be wrong with that church, too. I got new. Listen, there's stuff wrong. Okay, there's stuff wrong because I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. We're an imperfect church. In an imperfect world, but we got a perfect Savior. Amen. We got that. But where does it come from? And what happens is they leave their friends, they leave the people that they've come accustomed to. You know, God calls this a family, right? Amen. And they just leave their family, go off to some other place, thinking that's it. They done, and then they sit around. I think a lot of them sit around and grieve and say, man, I really miss my friends and this and that. You let the devil rob you of your church. You let the devil rob you of your church. He robbed you of your joy. He robbed you of your church. He robbed you of your worship at that particular church. Why let the devil do that? When you look, and we're studying in Acts on Wednesday night, or Wednesday night Bible study in Acts, and the apostles, they went to city to city to city, and they started churches. In almost every case, guess what happened? The devil stirred up a bunch of people, sometimes religious people. He stirred them up to come against the church. There was always some kind of stirring up going on. Every time God, listen, every place there's a church doing something for God, I'm going to tell you what, Satan's got his crowd stirring up trouble, telling lies, making accusations against that church. It's just every single time. It's in the Bible, plain as it can be. Here's the scary thing. Satan uses people. He used Eve to go after Adam when they sinned in the garden in the original sin. He got Eve to go and talk Adam into eating of the fruit. Adam had a choice to make. He's not innocent. He had a choice to make as to whether to listen to Eve or not, and he did. But he's trying to rob their worship. What happened? He did. They had to hide. They hid from God. He came to fellowship with them, and they were hiding. Listen, don't let Satan use you. Don't let Satan use you. As I said earlier, I'm right almost at the end here. What would you do if you were robbed? I'd call the police, right? I mean, that's what you do. You call the police. But the police can't do anything about what Satan's stealing. But Jesus can do something about it. Why sit there and let Satan rob you of your family, your children, your marriage, your church? Let him rob you of your joy, your worship, your praise, your fellowship. Why sit there and let him steal your soul? Steal your spiritual life. When you get to the end of the book of Job, I know I didn't turn to any of the verses, but when you get to the end of the book of Job, you'll find this out. Because Job trusted God, you know what? All of his animals, God doubled. All the animals, he had twice as many sheep, twice as many camels, twice as many oxen, whatever he had double as many. And he gave them 7 more sons and 3 more daughters, the same amount that he had. And it said that he lived to see 4 generations of his grandchildren. Huh? Blessings from God. Amen. Blessings from God right there. Listen, when you trust the Lord, Satan will never steal more than God will give. You know, and here's the, it boils down to this. Satan, listen, God loves you and Satan hates you. Why listen to him? Why listen to him? God sent his son to die in your place. He loves you that much. He sent Jesus Christ to come and die on a cross to pay for your sins that you could have eternal life. That's how much God loves you. Listen, I couldn't love you that much. I couldn't give you my son, my only son, or any of my, you know, my only daughter. I couldn't give you my children for your life. I couldn't do it. God did. God did that. Why not come and thank God for what he did for you? And why not come and accept what God has done? Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Satan is telling you you don't need to do it. Right now, Satan is telling us, if you're here and you're lost, Satan is saying, listen, don't do it. Don't go up there in front of those people. Put it off to another day. Sometimes he don't even tell you not to never do it. He said, just put it off. Just do it another day. It'll be a more convenient time. Time's going by quick. He's trying to rob your soul. He's trying to steal your soul. Why listen to Satan? Why don't you come forward as we have an invitation? Be saved today. Don't listen to Satan. Listen to God. Satan hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take everything you have. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you, to prove his love for you. He's got blessings for you he wants you to have. He'll give you more than Satan ever thought about. And Satan never thought about giving you anything, just taking from you.